Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Tim Murray is, of course, the host of VSiN Live, airing from 6 until 9 p.m. Eastern each and every night. He's on Twitter, on X, at one Tim Murray. College football, college basketball, betting podcasts. Download, like, subscribe. You know the drill. Tim, did you take the points last night?
I did not for the full game. I took a little position on the first half, so that did not come
home. You want to lose one more time to UConn?
Well, they didn't cover the first half against Alabama, so I didn't think Purdue would be able to stay with them for 40 minutes, but I took a little position. First half, which obviously did not come home. They were a four-point dog, and UConn led by six at halftime. But, no, my biggest position was the under, and I thought this game would be played slow. Got off to a really impressive start just from the shot-making capabilities, but slowed down. You saw Purdue obviously get kind of bottled up from the guard perspective. So was happy to end the season on a high note with the under. Took some Donovan Klingon under. So, yeah, it was very interesting, and we can get into it, you know, NCAA tournament from kind of the way I bet, right, from the anti-public, taking a lot of dogs. So it was more of a battle than maybe recent years, but, you know, you live and you learn and you move on.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the interesting aspect. It's like when you think about this tournament, I mean, honestly, it seems like to me what we're going to remember is UConn dominance. I think maybe a dusting of DJ Burns. He seemed to capture the imagination.
But just, Jack Golke fired John Calipari.
I mean, that to me, like, honestly, though, right now, isn't that kind of, like, to me, like, that's the main story is the fact that Jack Golke got Arkansas new coach.
I actually had Jack on the show a couple weeks ago after, you know, he became the superstar of the first weekend, and I texted him. I go, man, you're the reason Calipari's moving on. And he just laughed and, you know, said he was like, man, that's crazy. But no, I mean, the story of Monday for the majority of Monday was not this matchup between two Goliaths in Purdue and UConn. It was that John Calipari, and obviously you guys being there in Memphis know all too well about John Calipari leaving an institution. But, you know, real quick, Les, it's a fair point to make, because what we're going to talk about and what all the talking heads are going to talk about until they, you know, get enamored by, you know, some random NFL team is, you know, how great is this UConn team? And they deserve a ton of credit. And, you know, six national championships in the past, what is it, since 1999? So since 25 years, six national championships is just absurd. You know, not to be overlooked, Purdue did enter yesterday's game also 5-0 against the spread, yep, and covering at just slightly under what UConn was doing. UConn was the juggernaut, was the unbeatable force, covering the point spreads at 10-plus points per game, and Purdue was covering at 8.5 points per game. Purdue really proved to me, now, you know, injuries are part of the game. Jamal Shedd gets injured in the Duke game, much to my chagrin, because I had a Houston future to come out of that region. I don't know if it's different if Houston's full strength, but if some butts were candy and nuts, the world would be a better place. But Purdue proved to me that they were the second best team in college basketball, and they deserve a lot of credit. But it was UConn's world, and we were, you know, just you know, messing around in it. I mean, it was ridiculous what this team did, and, you know, fascinating moving forward, because last year they lost three pros off their national championship team. Adama Sanogo, even though I don't think he's in the NBA, I think he's...
I think they had two draft picks, and then he signed with the Bulls.
Yeah, Hawkins was a lottery pick, and then Jackson was picked in the...
late second.
First round? Whenever it was. Well, he was picked by the Bucks. I don't know if it was early second, whatever it was. And so they had three pros off of that team, and they were a preseason top 10 team, but not, you know, number one. And they dominated pretty much everyone. They lost to Kansas early on in the year, but had a couple of injuries. You know, when that game, they had no Gilmore for a little bit. Castle for a little bit. They had no Klingon for a little bit. But when they were healthy, man, this team, outside of a, you know, ridiculous shooting night by Creighton on, you know, what was that, a Tuesday or Wednesday? It was a Tuesday, because I came on your show and said I was betting Creighton. And last time you were able to beat UConn, pretty much. I think St. John's covered against them.
They were only 11-1 from March on against the spread.
Yeah, only 11-1.
Yes.
Yeah, and St. John's, Rick Pitino, the only coach to cover against them in the Big East tournament in that semifinal.
I think the thing that's interesting to me is... we're talking about UConn like this right now, deservedly so. But the thing that really fascinates me is they end up leaving the American. And they're now, you know, back to being the Kings. And when they were in the American, I mean, the Excel Center would be lifeless. There was nobody there. Like, I'm more fascinated by the move back to the Big East. Like, what is it about that move that has allowed them to, you know, regain the top of the mountain?
Well, I think also, you know, Kevin Ollie made one miraculous run to a national championship as what, a seven?
I think there were. I think that was a 7-8 in the final.
Yeah, against Kentucky, and you know, I went back and I was just doing a little homework on UConn, just kind of how unprecedented this run has been, and you know how they've been covering. You know, the last time they lost. Sorry, the last time they were an underdog in the NCAA tournament was 2016, and that's because they weren't in the NCAA tournament in 17, 18, 19. There was no tournament in 20. They were a favorite against Maryland in the first round in 21, lost. Favorite against New Mexico State in 22, lost. And then they've rattled off 12 straight. But, yeah, I think it's twofold. I think it's they're back where they belong in the Big East. And secondly, Dan Hurley has proven to be an elite coach. I mean, look, say what you will about him. He's seems to be a nut job, but, and
I can safely say last night was a first for me. I've never seen a coach shove his guy telling him to start the, well, I was worried. It was like, if that cost the cover, I was going to be so mad.
I thought it was going to be a technical. I thought he was out of the coach's box, and they showed the replay, and he was pushing Spencer.
The truth is, I thought it was a tech. I didn't think you could touch a player.
I didn't think so either. Maybe because it's his own player? I don't know.
Maybe?
But think about this. Like, this is a team, you know, and there's a lot of discussions about Cal moving forward and is it, you know, is his way going to work at Arkansas, whatever. And I just think about how this team, this UConn team was put together. And, you know, Stephon Castle's a five-star. He's going to be a lottery pick. Donovan Klingon would have been drafted last year. Now he's going to be a lottery pick. I don't know what he was as a recruit coming out of high school, but he's a local kid, right? He's like
Bristol.
From Bristol, Connecticut. Yeah, so he's a local kid. Tristan Newton was from El Paso, Texas.
And played at ECU.
Yeah, none of the schools in El Paso area, like UTEP, New Mexico State, I guess recruited him. He goes to ECU, and now he's the MOP of the Final Four. Cam Spencer started his collegiate career at Loyola of Maryland. His brother's like the greatest lacrosse player of all time. He's playing in the NBA or the G League now. I mean, it's there's no exact science of putting this all together. I mean, you look at someone like Samson Johnson, who came in last night and...
five fouls, 5 minutes.
He fouled out in 5 minutes, but he also had two monster dunks because he kind of made Edie uncomfortable. I actually thought Edie did a really good job on Donovan Klingon, and it didn't matter. Like, Donovan Klingon was good, but he had been a force in the, you know, in the Elite Eight and the Final Four, and it did not matter. They schemed it up so well that the best three-point shooting team in the country attempted 7 three-pointers and made one. Like, their scheme, their scout, I think it was Bill Murray's son who did the scout, was so perfect that they never really had a chance. Like, it's wild that they said, all right, Zach Edey, go ahead, score 35 points. We don't care. And it worked out.
No, I mean, to me, when you're watching it, they just put their guards in hell. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we've all been in that situation where if you're a ball handler and you're going up against a guy that's just more physical, faster, just so much more athletic.
I actually thought Braden Smith played pretty well.
I thought he did, too, but didn't everything just feel... It felt so hard.
It was hard. Yeah, it was really hard. He played well. Fletcher Lawyer was anonymous last night. Like, where was he? He wasn't even a factor, you know, in the game. And Lance Jones, who I thought stepped up with some big-time shots against NC State, was pretty much nullified as well. You know, Trey Kaufman Wren, he had some big moments in the Final Four game. Pretty, you know, irrelevant as well.
The only play I felt like last night was taking the charge.
Yeah. And I mean, and then we had the putback dunk, which is one of the best dunks I've ever seen, which, like, I still don't know how he got it. Who was that? Miles Colvin or something like that?
Yes.
Whoever it was. Camden High. It doesn't matter. But I mean, UConn was awesome and they have been awesome. And, you know, Danny Hurley has built a behemoth. And we'll see how sustainable it is, and at what point does he ever wear out his welcome there in stores. But they're probably, you know, not going to be a top 10 team preseason next year. I'm pretty confident in saying that. But, you know, at some point, you just got to trust that this dude knows what he's doing and putting the pieces together. Like, they're going to lose Cam Spencer. They're going to lose Stephon Castle. They're going to lose Klingon. They're going to lose Newton. They're going to lose a lot. Caravan's coming back. I don't know if Hassan Dara's coming back, but, like, they'll get some pieces coming back. And, you know, they'll be good again in the Big East. And, you know, we'll see moving forward. The interesting thing, my buddy Matt Fortuna, long time, used to work at ESPN, now work at The Athletic, now he's doing his own thing. He's been putting out a column, like, the past couple of days, like, the ACC needs to grab UConn. Like, go get them now. That'd be interesting. I don't really want that to happen, but, you know, the money makes the world go around, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because, so, I actually think the Big 12's pursuit of UConn was legitimate.
Yeah, I agree.
And
because don't you think that the Big 12 is realistically saying, you know what, football will be fine, but let's build the best college basketball conference in the world. And they would do that. If they brought in UConn, then I think Gonzaga may follow at some point. You would have Gonzaga, UConn, Kansas, Arizona. I mean, that's Houston, who's going to be preseason number one in the country. I mean, good Lord. Like, that would be Iowa State. They're going to be preseason top five, I think.
Baylor,
if they keep Scott Drew.
I think
BYU was a six this year. That was surprising.
Thank you for that. That was like, that still smells like BYU to me. I'll go ahead and take the other
but like
side.
Texas is leaving, I guess. But
I mean, I think to your point, if they could build the best football conference, I think they would.
Yeah.
I think they know they can't do that. So what
they
can
lost
they
Texas
do?
And Oklahoma and
right.
And why don't you lean into, like, there's dollars in an NCAA tournament. Why don't we lean into building a conference that could make runs to the Final Four consistently, that's more money for the conference and win national championships. So, you know, if Gonzaga and UConn went to the Big 12, and by the way, this is pure speculatory. I'm not saying this is legit, but if that were to happen, like, talk about Monday nights, you know, on ESPN watching those games, sign me up, man.
Well, I think it's a survival, like a survival tactic, because I think we've proven the tournament or some whatever the replacement is, it's not going away. College basketball is still going to be something that people pay to see, and it's not going to make the money that football does, but it's going to make money. And so I think for them, it became you can't leave us out if we are this dominant force in basketball. And like, I think that's the biggest reason why I think the pursuit was there.
Did we say Kansas?
I thought we said them first.
Okay.
They were understood. I thought we said them first.
We did say Kansas, right?
I bring all that up, though, is because the way that it was reported and the way that it honestly makes sense to me, I think the administrators at the school know that UConn financially, like, they are hurting. And that was going to be a life raft. Yet the money people and the decision makers are like, nah, we're good here. And so that's kind of what's fascinating to me. It's like, does a bill ever come due? Are they just going to keep – does winning just keep printing money? Like, that is what fascinates me about this world, because everyone's looking at it from a Memphis perspective of like, well, is there a move Memphis could make? And it's like, not really. And to me, the bigger question is, like, what is the Big East world in 10 years? Like, I think they're going to be a part of basketball, but, like, I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the majority of those schools don't have a football team, or if they do, it's, I mean, D3, Connecticut,
yeah.
You know, it's Connecticut, look at the Big East real quick, you know, just to refresh, Connecticut's the best football program in that conference. Yeah. They're the only one that plays Division I. Villanova's FCS, they've had success, but that's whatever. Butler, Georgetown, I think both have FCS programs, but outside of that, nobody else has anything. You know, I have always wondered, now that, you know, nothing makes sense and Stanford and Cal are headed to the ACC and USC and UCLA and Oregon and Washington are headed to the Big Ten. Like, at what point does the Big East just get on its knees and say, Gonzaga, please come to the Big East? Like, what do you need? Because then that would be fun. Like, it makes a lot of sense. They're a Catholic institution. A lot of the Big East schools are. Outside of the travel, but travel doesn't seem to make sense anymore. So, you know, could we convince St. Mary's and Gonzaga to go join the Big East? And, man, that'd be a lot of fun, man. I mean, Gonzaga doesn't seem to be going anywhere. They're doing just fine. It seems like UConn has the Gonzaga model where it's like, yeah, we're going to lean into college basketball. This is what we do.
This is what we care about.
This is what we care about. Like, Connecticut is independent in football. Like, that's not sustainable. Like, I'm honestly surprised they pay Jim Mora what they pay him, right? I mean, and UConn, let's be honest, is one of the few institutions out there that's making a ton of money from women's basketball, too. They sell out their arena every single time. I mean, obviously, women's basketball just had the most remarkable run they've ever had. And, you know, we'll see if they can, you know, cash in on some of that. But yeah, I mean, the landscape of college sports is such a bizarre situation. And the Big East is kind of, honestly, man, like, the Big East is kind of that comfort food where it's like, yeah, there's a couple weird things about it. Like, Creighton being in there is a little wacky, you know, a team out in Omaha, Nebraska, but they're good. Like, they're the one thing, it feels like, in college sports that is still kind of true of what it was growing up.
Mac.
Yeah, Mac is untouchable, baby. Yes. Like, no one messes with the Mac. No one wants those schools, and they don't want to leave, even though who's joining it?
UMass, baby.
UMass.
They're back.
Right.
They're rejoining.
Yeah. But now with all the sports.
Yes, they're rejoining. Before we let you go,
yeah.
Do we have odds on who's the next Kentucky coach? I know we mentioned Baylor. It does feel like you're getting a lot of other messages that, you know, we're staying here. Feels like it's pretty quiet in old Waco.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I have not seen, usually for these types of places, it's far off lands that don't have regulations.
Correct.
I have not seen it. I'm not saying that they aren't out there. But if I were to make the odds right now, knowing that Nate Oates said thanks but no thanks, Jay Wright emphatically said no on CBS or TBS last night. Danny Hurley said his wife would divorce him if they moved out of Connecticut. So, it feels like we haven't gotten the old message from the letterhead of Scott Drew saying, I'm not leaving. So, yeah, Scott Drew seems to make a lot of sense. And then if it's not Scott Drew, then it really gets interesting. Like, who's the next one to come, right? Because, you know, Pat Kelsey might work at Louisville. And I'm not saying, you know, it won't. But there's no way that, you know, Louisville thought, Pat Kelsey, that's the guy we got to have.
And you and I see it 100%. Like, Pat Kelsey could work there. That
sure.
could end up being a good hire, but there's no way that was the
plan.
Had to
have been their sixth choice,
yes.
Right? You know, and that, Look, Pete Carroll was like USC's seventh choice, and he ended up turning that into a juggernaut out there in L.A. But, yeah, it seems like Scott Drew, who's been at Baylor for 20 years, won a national championship. It's funny. We were leaving work last night, and me and my co-host were just talking, and some guy just abruptly interrupts us. He's like, "Hey, you talking about Calipari?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "I went to Kentucky." We're like, "Yeah? Are you happy?" He's like, "No, we're not happy." I'm like, "Really? I don't know. You guys were kind of really complaining a lot about getting bounced again." And he basically was like, "Well, if we don't get Danny Hurley or Billy Donovan, you know, this is a disaster." I'm like, "Okay, well, yeah, you ain't going to get those guys." So, yeah, it seems like Scott Drew would make a lot of sense for them. And, you know, it's a really good job, obviously. It's a pressure cooker, but it's a really good job. You got all the resources in the world. I can't wait for Arkansas at Kentucky next year. What's going to be more hostile? Chris Beard's return to Texas Tech, because that was pretty good.
Ed Cooley back to Providence was
that was special. Good. And they're still, the Providence people are ruthless, man. I'm on the verge of being like, just chill out. Like, they were trying to start things on social media that Cooley was going to resign. And, like, it started to catch wind. People were retweeting, like, random Twitter accounts. But, yeah, Cal returned to Kentucky to Rupp with probably, like, four or five of those stars.
With the whole recruiting class.
Yeah, but can we just real quickly just talk about how wacky this is? The USC coach was about to be fired, saw the writing on the wall, was like, "You know what? I'm going to go jump to SMU."
Let's go one step back before that. SMU bought their way into the ACC.
Yeah, they're like, "No. We don't need any of your money.
Yeah,
just
you
let
can
us
say,
in.
You, basically, we're paying $500 million to be in the ACC." Because I don't know if that's the landing spot he would have picked.
No.
If not for that.
Yeah. So he's like, "All right, they got money. I'll leave here and I'll go to SMU." Musselman's like, "Sweet. I'm going back to LA. Things aren't going great here. I'm out. Let me go." So this sparks goes, SMU fires their coach. They grab Andy Enfield. Musselman leaves Arkansas to go to USC. And then the bluest of blue blood out there loses their coach for Arkansas.
Well,
it's so wild.
And the thing that's even more interesting about it, Chris Beard, the Ole Miss head coach, turns them down. The Kansas State head coach turns them down. And then the Tysons get involved and they say, "You need to go call Calipari." And now, like that, like, but you had to get to the spot where the Ole Miss head coach turned down the Arkansas job and the Kansas State coach turned down the Arkansas job. And now that's where we are.
I mean, amazing.
I do think Greg Sankey's dream is kind of coming true of the, it's going to eventually be European soccer. And this is like a very European soccer thing where the managers and coaches, like they're there, like they almost take them like as projects and like you just kind of hop around.
Yeah, no doubt. And, yeah, if it's not Scott Drew come next week, it'll be interesting to see. Because I do a radio show in Milwaukee, and they're like, "They're not going to get Shaka, are they?" I was like, "I don't think so." But you never I never say never because it's college sports and nothing tends to make sense. But I think Shaka Smart learned his lesson from Texas, got his payday, and is like, "You know what? I'm going to go to a school that embraces me. We're going to win regularly. And they'll be happy about that." I don't think he wants to go to Kentucky.
Yeah, because even with the Texas basketball job, like I can make an argument that's an awesome basketball job because you have all the resources, yet they're still focused on football. And so the expectations aren't like insane.
He got players at Texas. I don't think he does great with the one and done. Shaka Smart, that is. He turned Tyler Kolek, a guy who started his career at George Mason, into the conference player of the year. People forget this. UConn won the national championship last year. They don't forget that. Shaka Smart and Marquette won the regular season and the conference tournament in Madison Square Garden, beating UConn in the semifinals.
Yes.
And I think Kolek got hurt in the tournament, and ultimately they got bounced in the second round by Michigan State, but Yeah, I think he's got a good thing going there. I think he likes it. He's from Wisconsin, but who knows? I mean, you get offered $11 million annually or whatever Kentucky's going to start throwing around, you might be reconsidering. But I think it'll be Scott Drew. Like you said, I think the silence is loud,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, I totally agree. All right, buddy, we appreciate it.
All right, man, see ya.
That is Tim Murray, of course, of VSiN.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.